Yeah, I am Monica from the Chapel Hill Prison Books Collective. We're located in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Can you tell us about the collective and what you all do?
Yeah, we've been a collective for more than 5 years now. And basically, we send books to prisoners. Specifically, we send books to folks that are in prison in Mississippi, Alabama, and North Carolina, and people that are in prisons or jails, really, write us letters and request whatever kinds of books they want inside. That's the simplest explanation.
Would you say your group takes a stance against prisons in general?
Yeah, we describe ourselves as an abolitionist group, so it's an important part of what we do is that we're not a charity organization, right? And we're not looking just to reform prisons and make them better, happier, you know, kind of institution. But we believe that systematically they don't work. We believe that, you know, they're really racist institutions and they don't serve the purpose of rehabilitation. So we believe that prisons shouldn't exist and there should be community-based systems for dealing with conflict and problems in our communities.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on those the community-based alternatives.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question, right? A lot of abolitionists these days, prison abolitionists, talk about something called transformative justice, this idea that rather than looking to the judicial system for some kind of real justice, that there can be an actual justice that is transformative for the person or people involved as well as the whole community. What that actually looks like on the ground is complicated, I think, and something that is still a work in progress. And I would say largely because of the transient nature of the geographical communities that we live in. But there are a lot of working models for things like this. In Durham, which is the city just next to us, some of the folks involved in an organization that's also a prison abolitionist organization called Critical Resistance, and then a whole lot of other groups have started a project there called the Harm Free Zone. And their whole purpose is to create spaces where when there's conflict in our communities, rather than calling the police, we have sort of hotlines that we can call so we can access people that are willing to come and support us in the moment of crisis, and that there are also sort of systems developing for resolving conflict on small and large scale, you know, without having to go to police or to the court system.
On your website, it says you have a prison abolition reading group. I was curious what you all read in that group.
Well, so one of the exciting things that started sort of on its own and sort of with our prompting was a lot of the folks inside, especially people that are anarchist prisoners or other radicals or conscious prisoners, right, have started forming reading groups inside of prisons. And so they were getting so excited about some of the books that we were sending, and books and zines that were covering radical history and sort of political theory. They were sharing books and starting to read them, and we were getting letters back that the reading groups were sort of changing life inside a little bit. Like a bunch of the letters we were getting, especially from Parchman Prison and a couple of other notorious prisons in Mississippi and Alabama, letters we were getting from folks were saying that having something political to focus on, to talk about, was bringing people together across sort of across race lines and making it possible to focus on something positive. And that was really the inspiration for folks in the Prison Books Collective to start a reading group. And we just felt like we also wanted to be brushing up on our political theory and Did you hear that? For Sandy 2, prison abolition and transformative justice, and also that we wanted to sort of create a way to engage with the reading groups that were happening inside prison. So, and we picked a whole lot of different books and started meeting once a month. We've read all kinds of different things. Started, I think, with a Christian Parenti book about the prison system, and have gone through some things from really theoretical stuff like Foucault's analysis of the panopticon to more personal accounts, like some of the riot and rebellion histories inside of prisons. And then we've been able to do some corresponding with prisoners about the stuff we're reading, so that folks have been able to send us their thoughts about those same books, and we've been able to have a dialogue across the walls.
It says on your website that a lot of your work is some of the only contact that some people have with the outside world. You reported recently on resistance inside Bertie, North Carolina prison. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the biggest goals of the prison system is isolation, right? To break people down mentally and emotionally, to separate people from their family and loved ones. And it works intensely for some people. A lot of the folks that communicate with us don't have family that can come visit them or that write them or talk on the phone. And so for some prisoners, yeah, the correspondence they have with our collective and with other pen pals is the only link to the outside world. The relationships that we've built up with some of the folks inside that we correspond with have been amazingly powerful. And recently we started to correspond with the folks in Bertie County. And there's an amazing group of radical anarchist prisoners in this pretty small Eastern North Carolina prison. And they've actually, they had a reading group going on for a long time. And then a bunch of the prisoners that were doing some of the most agitating and organizing got thrown into solitary. They had been in general population, and they got thrown into solitary. This was happening a little bit after the Georgia prison strikes happened. And folks in Windsor and in Bertie County, this prison, they heard about what was going on in Georgia, were really inspired by it, and so started organizing, not just organizing politically the prisoners that were in general population, but also starting to organize for better conditions inside the prison. And so, like I was saying, a bunch of those folks got thrown into solitary, and it's funny, the first letter that we got back from one of those folks after they were put in solitary, it was incredible. This friend, he was writing that now that they were in solitary, they've actually been able to communicate with and organize a whole other crew of folks, because the other prisoners that were already in solitary, they didn't have any communication with, because, you know, there's no communication between the folks in general population and the folks in solitary confinement. And so they were saying now that they had gotten thrown in solitary, they had figured out how to communicate amongst the prisoners in solitary, and they were having really awesome political discussions and debates in solitary. So they were super positive about getting moved to solitary, which is amazing and totally heartening for me, you know. But then a little while after that, this particular prisoner was getting harassed a lot and got beaten up pretty badly by the guards, and he wrote us saying that he wanted us to do a demonstration outside of the prison, and that from his cell in solitary confinement he could see the parking lot of the prison. And so if we were able to get to the prison parking lot and do a demonstration there, that they would be able to see us. And so we organized, I think maybe, you know, it was a medium-sized demonstration. There were maybe like five packed cars of people that drove out there. It's about 2.5, 3 hours from where I live here. And we all went out and had just like a noise demonstration outside of the prison. And it was really, really, in some ways, a little anticlimactic for me, right? It was like, you know, we weren't able to tell how much the prisoners inside, our friends inside, were able to hear us or see what was going on. We didn't really know what kind of effects it had on the guards at the prison. But eventually we got letters back from our friends inside, and they said that the folks inside were able to see and hear everything that was going on, and that word spread about the noise demonstration outside, and that folks inside making all kinds of noise and, you know, rattling the doors of their cells and sort of participating in the demonstration altogether with us. Which I think for our friends inside, it was a really big deal to know and to be able to see that we were outside. And they were saying that it was really, really important for the prison guards to know and to see that there were people who knew what was happening inside and who cared about the people inside and who were able to come out when something was happening. So that was the beginning, I think, of something like that that has come out of the prison collective, out of our other work.
Has that been noticeable to, has that inspired other prisoners?
Can you say that again?
Has that action that inspire other prisoners? Have you got more letters in response to that?
Yeah, I think definitely there has been a sort of crew of folks that we were mainly communicating with from Windsor, this prison. And since then, we've been getting more mail from other folks that heard about our collective, that heard about the work that we're doing and the abolitionist standpoint that we have. Since then, it's exciting. But also, this was just last month, and things move slowly with the work that we're doing with prisoners because we're corresponding almost exclusively by mail. So it takes a little while for communication to happen and for the effects of things that happen in person to be felt through the letters, you know?
Yeah, sure. It says on your website your collective also has it has free online texts, and then you also have been putting out these political prisoner birthday posters. I was wondering if you could talk about those.
Yeah, well, so the way our collective operates is we have this workspace where we have a library of books. All of our books are donated, and so it's always changing what we have, which means that prisoners generally can't request a specific book because there's no way to know if we're going to have it for sure in the library. And mostly people request kinds of books. You know, I want, Black History, or I want anarchist political analysis, or I want
a dictionary.
Book about plumbing, you know?
Yeah.
But so we started, early on, advertising the zines that we had because we were able to more easily control which zines we had. So we made lists of all different kinds of, you know, political zines that we had, and we made a point of encouraging folks to request those, and we have a catalog that we send out, right, so that folks know which zines we have at all times. And that's one way to just sort of ensure that they can ask for something specifically and that we'll have it, and that it's good quality stuff. And so we've been trying to put all of the zines that we have in our catalog on the website so that other people can see them and access them, and particularly so that other groups doing similar work can see and can access those zines and also be sending them to folks inside. And the prison, the political prisoner letter writing night has been a really exciting sister project of the Prison Books Collective. I think it's started largely because a lot of us have friends that are in prison, some of them for political things, and it's, I think, often overwhelming for people to figure out how to begin writing to prisoners, because, you know, it's hard to start writing to a stranger. But we really wanted to encourage people that were coming to volunteer at the collective for a short bit, or people that were interested in the collective, to be writing with prisoners directly, both, you know, political prisoners and social prisoners, if you want to make that distinction. And a friend came up with this idea that we could organize a birthday card writing night, right, so that for the month of April, we write to all of the political prisoners that we can find who have birthdays in April. And I think mostly it's a good way to start writing, right, because it's, everyone knows how to write a birthday card. You know, it gives you something that you can talk about. And even if all you say in the letter is, happy birthday, we're thinking about you, and, you know, we have you in our thoughts. If a prisoner receives 15, 20, 50 letters near or on their birthday, and they're not expecting them, I think it's a significant morale boost, you know? So yeah. We've been doing this for a little over a year now, and have been sending the posters out to various ABC Anarchist Black Cross chapters across the country, to other prison books collectives. We've been sending the posters out through some radical distribution, like literature distributions like AK Press and Microcosm and Crime Think. And I think it's hard to know for sure how many people across the country are writing letters each month, but each month we get letters back from a lot of the folks that we write to saying, I had no idea there was an anarchist movement in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Or I didn't expect to receive a birthday card at all, and I got 30 birthday cards this month. Thank you so much. It, you know, the flood of mail made all the difference in my day or my week or my month. And it's also for me been really exciting to get to be corresponding with so many of our movement prisoners, you know, so many of our elders that have been kidnapped by the state, because mostly I correspond with friends of mine that are in prison, and it's been really incredible to get, like, a little snippets of perspective from political prisoners of all different kinds, to hear their thoughts about what's going on in politics and in anarchist or social movements right now, and to hear their appreciation and their words of inspiration and encouragement. If you can tell, it's a project that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I could imagine getting 30 birthday cards. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone, it's an exciting thing, right? And then particularly if letters in the mail is your main way that you connect to the outside world, it's, I think, a really beautiful thing. I would encourage everybody out there who's listening to write to a political prisoner, and if you don't know where to start, write to them on their birthday.
So where can people get information about political prisoners' birthdays and how to send mail to prisoners? Because I know that can be kind of difficult sometimes.
Indeed. So our website is really simple. It's prisonbooks.info, and you can find all of this information on our website. You can find the zine catalog that we were talking about earlier, and a lot of PDFs of the zines that are in that catalog. You can find the poster for each month for political prisoner birthday letter writing night, that has the names of different folks, their birthdays, and their address to write to. And it also, each month the poster has a description of sort of tips of what to do and what not to do when sending mail. You know, there's a lot of weird restrictions in prisons, like, you know, you can send photographs, but you can't send excessive glitter or stickers on a letter, you know? It's strange. I think a lot of the regulations are just to make it harder to get mail in, you know, not actually for any kind of reasonable purpose. I don't know what kind of weapon glitter gets turned into in a prison, you know. That was a joke. But I think mostly, you know, if you write a straightforward letter, have clear address to who it's getting sent to and a clear return address, it'll be okay.
Well, thanks for being on the program, Monica. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I would just say that if you're interested in this kind of organizing or work, please get in touch. I'm really excited about the increased coordination between different groups like this across the country, and I feel like lately groups like this, prison abolitionist groups, either sending literature into prisons or focusing on supporting prisoners in other ways, they're popping up all over the country, and it's really, really exciting because so many of our most amazing radical thinkers and warriors are in prison, and clearly, you know, we need to be doing good work to support them if we want to work towards our own liberation.
Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So you've been listening to Free Radio Olympia on 98.5 FM.